Blog Talk Radio.
Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few. I hope, indeed I pray, that we shall not be found unworthy of our victory if after toil and tribulation it is granted to us. For the rest, we have to gain the victory. That is our task.
Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duty, and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its commonwealths last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their finest hour.
We shall not fail or falter, we shall not weaken or tire. Neither the sudden shock of battle nor the long-drawn trials of vigilance and exertion will wear us down. Give us the tools, and we will finish the job. We shall go on to the end. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
You have tried to change my country. You've tried to change my life. No one ever asked me if I thought that this was right. It's time for us to tell you that we will go through hell to defend our country and to help BDL. I'm proud to be an Englishman and I'm going to be free. I won't forget the men who died to get that right. And we will stand up against you and defend England every day. There's no doubt we love this land. We'll save England and the UK. You have lied to all the people, try to take away their rights, but we won't let you sell this land, not without a fight. It's time for us to tell you that you can go to hell. It's time for us to stand and fight and join the EDL. I'm proud to be an Englishman and I'm going to be free. Won't forget the men who died to give that right to me. And we will stand up against you and defend England every day. There's no doubt we love this land. To save England and the UK. I'm proud to be an Englishman and I'm going to be free. Won't forget the men who died to give that right to me. And we will stand up against you and defend England every day. There's no doubt we love this land. So save England and the UK.
Do love this land. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the oh my God, Cal, what am I like? This is the English Defence League English Defence League radio show.
You're sounding more like me every day.
Yeah, on blogtalkradio.com, the English Defence League radio show, the voice of the EDL. And I got my script totally wrong there. The opening up, my apologies, ladies and gentlemen, I'm half asleep. I've had a nap and I woke up very late.
That's what happens when you take geezer naps.
But then it's good to see you. And let me say, oh my goodness me, ladies and gentlemen, I've got to welcome our very own the producer and the co-host of the show this evening, our very own Kel Fritzy, a.k.a. Red Fox Blogger, a.k.a. tonight, listen to this, guys, Snorkat. That Snorkat, there's a reason
my
beyond that is...
my cat has a big, huge feather bed behind me, and she's sleeping, and my cat snores. So between the chickens and the cat.
The chickens and the cat, my goodness me.
It's cacophony around here, I tell you.
Well, it's like a farmyard there. All you need is a mooing in the background, and you'd be well away, won't you? Old MacDonald had a farm.
All I need is a goat, and I'm all set to go.
Oh, don't talk about goats. You'll be bloody invaded by Muslims. For goodness sake,
yeah.
Billy.
Yeah.
My goodness me. But, yeah, very very big, important day today in the USA, the United States. Independence Day.
And we have something for our American friends later on. And we will be playing that later on. But, Jeff, how are you doing today?
Well, as I say, I'm just... ladies and gentlemen, I've got to be quite honest. I woke up probably about 15 minutes ago. I was watching TV. They had a big dinner today, and I fell asleep. And I woke up rather... I was confused, whatever you want to call it. I had about 10 minutes to open the chat room, call in, so I've been left a little bit flustered. But I've got to be honest with our listeners, Kel, that we're only human. Sometimes we do fall asleep, don't we, Kel? It happens to us all.
You're as honest as the pure driven snow. I was, I opened the chat room. Oh, and by the way, Minx. EDL Minx, she wins the
Oh no we can't look. She had the I must apologise, as I say, last night, because we're gonna have to have a chat to Mr. Wahibi, aren't we, Mr. Wahubi, when we see him, Kel, about
Wahabi.
Him as well. Have a word with him.
You know, he's really going to put a fatwa out on your head if you keep referring to him as the names of his other cousins.
Well, you know what I mean. They all get the names confusing to me. Tell these Wahubis and Wahibis and that. But no, we got to have words with him because I mean, I took it in good faith. You know, we paid some good money actually to. So we have the gold stars for our guests in the chat room. And as we found to our, well, wasn't very happy last night, was we?
We had to give out yak patties.
Yeah, I mean, come on, yak turds compressed into gold stars and spray painted isn't exactly what we was looking for, why, but it wasn't very good. This is a... You know, it's not very nice for our guests to receive one of those. So I'm going to apologise once again, and I'm sure that we've got a real gold star in the cupboard there, haven't we, for our EDL Minx for tonight, Kel?
We do.
Because I'm not going to give our guests yet.
Well, you know what, Jeff?
You
know what I'll do? You know, because it's Friday, I am wearing my green tuxedo ball gown, my long white gloves. And my tiara, so I'm going to take off my tiara.
Oh, my goodness me, you must blend in with the covers you've got there, Kel. Kel, you must blend in with them. Oh, my goodness me.
Stanger, he checks into the chat room using a yak and tosh. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Comedy Central, and... We have a whole lot of things lined up for you tonight. We have a few humorous clips. I've got a special treat for you, Jeff, courtesy of Bigfoot, and we are going to honor our American listeners.
Well, as we most certainly do. They're all from Sponge Town. I'm just reading. I'm reading E.D.L. Meekster. They're all from Spongebob and look a lot alike, so they should all be fine.
They're probably counterfeit.
Well, probably. Well, you know, we shouldn't put faith in them. You know, we've done it in good faith, as we normally do, but, you know, I've had to store them in the cupboard outside, Kel, because it's quite smelly, them yak turds, but it's the way that they spray-painted these to make them look like stars. You know, this was, you know, it was done in good faith on our behalf. Wasn't it? Ladies and gentlemen, you know, it's done in good faith. And all we end up is I've got a cupboard full of yak turds pretending to be gold stars.
Oh, my goodness. I think we both overslept.
Oh, I just say Drake's drum. Drake's drum's giving us a wave out there. Welcome, welcome, guys. As I say, Drake's drum, it's good to see you. It's Kelsey, she's on one tonight, ladies and gentlemen. I can hear her rolling up laughing. You must bear with me. Let's see. Oh, we got Ree Parsons in this evening. We got our very own Mr. Stanger, the man with the voice. We got we got Frank EDL. Good to see you this evening, Frank. Good to have you here, buddy. Eric Kyle, it's always a blessing to have you here, bruv. It's always a blessing. Of course, our very own EDL Minx. And so just mentioned, we got Drake's drum. And also, ladies and gentlemen, we got COG, another regular to the chat room as well. Thank you, COG. And of course, Bigfoot. It wouldn't be the same without Bigfoot. He's, oh, my goodness me, he's just jumped off. Where's he
gone? Yeah, people are losing sound, so they're refreshing the pages.
Oh, I see. Okay, that's happened. And I saw, you know, anybody that loses the sound, and it does happen, just refresh the page, and it normally, well, it always happens to me. It all comes back, but these things do happen. I don't know why it does, but it does, doesn't it, Kel?
It does, yeah.
So how's your day been today then, Kel? You got a good one?
It's been rather busy. And I got a lot of work done. I got shows booked, and I got housework done, and I went out and played with the chickens.
yes, there's nothing finer than to have a bit of fun with the chickens. Pluck it away.
Hey, why did the turkey cross the road? Do you remember?
No. Why did the chickens run across the road?
Why did the turkey cross the road?
Okay, why did the turkey cross the road, girl?
It was the chicken's day off.
I made a joke up the other day, ladies and gentlemen, and I said to Kel, and do you know what? It was very hard so that Kel would come across and take part in what I was trying to do. But I said to Kel, why did the chickens run across the road? And I said, you're supposed to say, why did the chickens run across the road, Jeff? But she wouldn't, would you, Kel? It took me about half an hour. It took me half an hour to crack the And the punchline was, in the end, Kel says, why did the chickens run across the road, Jeff? And I said, because they were being chased by bloody crazy Muslims.
And it took me on Skype, it took me a good 30 minutes to figure that one out.
Oh, my goodness me. But it's fun. Anyway, I've cracked it to our listeners out there. You know, it's nothing, not that we're biased against Muslims, but they are seeing quite a lot chasing after chickens and chickens molesting. And, well, you name it, they're up to it, aren't they, girl? Let's be honest. It's out there, isn't it? Hey, the chickens know how to run quick when they're about.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the EDO Radio Show. Topic tonight, animal husbandry and how to protect them from the Muslims.
But anyway, it's good to be here. As I say, I'm starting to wake up a little bit now. I really need to have a cup of tea soon, though. When we have a break, I'll have to get one. My voice is a bit dry. As I say, we've got Kels. She said that we've got lots of surprises for the show this evening. And sometimes I get quite worried when she says we've got lots of surprises. I don't know what she's going to say. So we will have to see as the night goes along, won't we, how it goes.
Absolutely.
So, Kelly, what have we got? One, maybe we can hang about. Let's just come back into the... Because I've been so busy in the chat room there. Welcome, everybody. I noticed that we have got a very own Mr. Michael Green.
We do.
And it's always a great pleasure to have Michael call in on the show and be a part of the show and that. So I was wondering, should we bring Michael in, Kel?
Oh, absolutely.
Bit of a rundown.
The sooner the better, because
on the chicken
we're losing
husbandry
control. Yeah, we are totally... Michael Green is the sane one.
I'm sane. I'm the only one in the world sane.
I doubt that. No, but Michael Green, he will put our feet back on the ground. And hi, Michael. How are you tonight?
Will. Good evening, Michael.
Good evening, Jeff. Good evening, Kel. I think I'm going to have to send a large paddy wagon with some men in white coats. I hope you don't mind a short stay at a sanitarium and maybe some medications, and you guys will be fine in a few weeks.
Well, we're drunk on happiness.
They're coming
we're
to take me away,
ha-ha,
hee-hee-ho-ho, to the funny farm where life is beautiful all the time. And I'll be happy to see those nice young men in their clean white suits, and they're coming to take me away. Oh, I'm
hey,
looking forward
Michael,
to
I'm quite
weaving.
Concerned about Kel, because she knows that song off by heart. She knows it word for word. It's a bit worrying, isn't it, Michael? See, there's a quietness there.
I keep hearing
nothing bloody chickens again.
A buzzing.
I keep hearing a buzzing.
Hey, Michael, are you all right there?
Oh, yeah, the line is clear on my end. Sure.
Oh, okay. I was hearing a buzzing.
Don't worry.
Maybe I really do need those men in those white suits.
No, they're coats. They're white coats. They're not suits.
There you go, Michael. But it's good to have you on the show this evening. And a very, very busy day in the United States today with Independence Day. There's a lot of celebrations, and that normally goes on today. So congratulations on today, Michael. And hope you're enjoying the festivities as such, whatever's going on.
Yeah,
what are you doing today, Michael? Do you have the day off work and everything? What are your festivities going to be?
Well, I try to do something productive every day of the week, And today, there are many things happening all over America to recognize the independence of this great nation, but it's a nation in distress. So there are mixed feelings today in America from many patriots like myself that, we celebrate the creation of this nation, and at the same time, we cannot ignore the multitude of problems that we are inundated with, not just here in America, but in overseas nations, especially
Absolutely.
In European countries, where Muslim fascism, Islamic violence is a massive problem. And it is becoming a much more serious problem as time moves on.
Mm-hmm.
So I think those are things to think about on this Independence Day. And, of course, we need to think about all the men and women that sacrificed their lives so that we could be a free nation. and not just from the time of our inception, but moving forward through all the wars and conflicts that people have given their full measure, last full measure of devotion, you know, who died on the battlefield, those who've been wounded in body and mind. You know, war creates unseen scars and the seen scars, and the seen scars of war are very apparent when we see someone who's lost a limb or is disfigured or whatever kind of visual thing we see when we look at a wounded combat veteran. But there are many people suffering, not just in America, but in Canada, the UK. Anyone who has spent time in country in the past 13 years of war, you know, a lot of these men and some women come home with bad post-traumatic stress, combat PTSD. So we don't want to forget them on this Independence
Never,
Day.
Never forget, Mr. Michael, you know, the, as you say, the great sacrifices that people have paid to give us our freedoms and everything we stand. But, you know, it seems sad because a lot of what the people laid down their lives on, the great things, that these people, if they was alive now, would be shaking their heads in disgust of what the politicians are doing around them now. All the things that they fought and died for, these politicians are trying to bring down our countries. And it's just, as you say, there is a world in distress at this moment in time. Yes, there is celebrations, but at the same time, I go along with what you said, Michael. Every sentence you said there, I agreed with everything. Well said, Michael.
Yeah, it is. We are a nation in distress. We're a world. The Western world is in distress. And we need to band together across the Atlantic and across other, you know, physical boundaries and be united in this battle against Islamic fascism.
Yes, I agree, you know. And I'm going to say it the way it is. We do need a final crusade against these hordes. I will call them hordes because this is something that I gathered from Kel. What we're seeing across our world at this moment in time, they are ramping it up. We can see it's quite openly that it is a declaration
mm-hmm.
of war. They
yep.
declared war when they attacked the America back in 2001, the Twin Towers, and all the what they've done. And about 23, Michael, you're a bit more up to statistics. There's been probably 23,000 attacks since 9/11. Am I correct, or is it a bit more than that? 24,000 attacks around throughout the world with these people?
In the neighborhood of that, approximately, and these are worldwide attacks. Many people, unfortunately, don't understand when a Christian or a Buddhist are killed in an Islamic country, let's say Bangladesh or Pakistan or somewhere in the Middle East, Iraq, or in Syria. That's a terrorist attack because that person's a civilian and they're being attacked and murdered for who they are. You know, the fact
yeah.
that they're not a Muslim, they're considered a kufar or kafir
yes.
In Islam, in Islamic ideology. The truth is the Quran says that to kill the kafir is a calling. You know, it's called jihad. It
yeah.
is taught that it is the highest pinnacle of the life of a Muslim is to commit jihad for Allah.
To fulfill jihad, isn't it, Michael? It
yes,
says
to
fulfill
it.
Jihad.
And it is actually, if you read and study the four Islamic schools of jurisprudence, there are four Sunni and one Shia, so that's a five total. Jihad is compulsory. It is actually mandatory.
Yes,
that
it certainly
Muslim
is,
men
Michael.
Or women. Yeah, and that's all whitewashed by the liberal media, but the facts are those who've taken the time to study and research Islam and the true teachings of this so-called religion, and many people out there, you know, on a higher level than us, like Robert Spencer and other just
yes.
great people who have devoted their life to this battle and have given so much information, valuable, accurate information, truth about
yes.
what this enemy is about. In any battle or conflict, you must know your enemy, and you must study them
oh, yes.
if you're going to prevail against them.
And
I
just brought up the website, the Religion of Peace, and I just posted in the chat room that there have been it's updated, 23,311 deadly terror attacks.
I'm surprised then, wasn't I, what I said, girl?
9/11. Yep, you were right on, Jeff. Yeah.
Yeah. It's if you think about it, ladies and gentlemen, that's 23,000 individual type of attacks throughout the world, as Michael said, against either Hindus, Christians, or Buddhists. Anybody that's not of the faith of Islam is an enemy of Islam and will be dealt with in the way that we see the deaths of these people. It's more of a credible threat now than I think maybe 30 or 40 years ago when it was in its infancy. Michael, 30 or 40 years ago, we heard attacks in different parts of the world, but you know, it wasn't to the extent of what we've got now. 95%, that was the last figures, 95% of the attacks that or trouble in the world at this moment in time is Islamic related. So they have definitely ramped it up over the last 10 years, 12 years. Would you not say that, Michael, that they are ramping it up, they're stepping it up, they're trying to bring about this caliphate, they're trying to gather all the Islamic nations together as one, and it is the dream of a Muslim to bring that about. Wherever he might be, is to try to bring about the caliphate, isn't it, Michael? Every individual Muslim out there, that is their plan, and to try to promote Islam wherever he is, whatever he does, and to try to convert people to Islam. That is his goal. The individual Muslim out there, every single Muslim out there, this is their goal. I'm right in that perception, aren't I, Michael?
I agree. Let me add that Jewish people have been a massive target of these Muslim savages, and the reason there are less Jews killed because in 1948, when Israel became a nation, there were pogroms, as they're called, against Jews, Jewish communities in the Middle East. There were Jews in Tunisia, in Morocco, in Iraq, in Syria. Just about most of the Arab nations did have a certain number of Jews living there. Anyway, there was a mass exodus. They had to leave to save their life. They did. Most of them went to Israel. So we don't see that happening, although we do see attacks on Jews in Europe. For example, in Belgium not that long ago, a person who fought in Syria, an ISIS-type Muslim terrorist, killed three Jewish people at a Jewish museum in Belgium. Of course, the story got very little press. There's been many terrible attacks on Jews in France. That's another dangerous country for Jews because of Muslim savages. There was a terrible story in the past year or two where there was a Jewish school in a city or town in France, and a Muslim barbarian terrorist scumbag went there and slaughtered a group of Jews. In fact, it was so heinous, he took this little Jewish girl and he grabbed her by her hair and he put his pistol, his handgun, to her head and he pulled the trigger, and that's how he killed her. Yeah, there were three or four other Jewish people, adults, and I think a few other children who were slaughtered. He was eventually killed.
Yes.
But Jews are leaving
France. It does stand out in my mind very much greatly. It's very upsetting and distressing to think that they would just go about shooting a little girl in the head, just shoot a young girl dead like that. It beggars belief, doesn't it, Michael, that these people are so evil and so without, they're without humanity, aren't they? They've got no souls. How can we call these people with souls? You wouldn't do that if you've got a soul, would you, Michael?
Satan. Their father is literally the devil, and they are subhuman. And the best way to deal with this element is to accommodate them and send them to where they wish to go. And that's a whole other thing maybe we can get into tonight, because we know that ISIS is growing and taking a lot of territory, and there's a serious problem with this new jihadist organization that came out of Syria and also Iraq, and what's going on in Syria and Iraq, and how this organization, how it directly affects our freedoms and our safety here in the West.
Yeah, they've already made threats against us, haven't they, this group?
That is definitely a topic that we have to move into, but we also have to recognize that it's ramadam-a-ding-dong, and
referring
to their religion of peace. We are in day six of Ramadan, a ding dong, and day
six, in
the name of the religion of peace. Jeff, don't talk over me, damn it. We're into day six. In the name of the religion of peace, the terror attacks have reached 39. In any other religion, zero. From anti-Muslim hate crimes, zero. Suicide bombings, there have been two. Dead bodies, 262. Wounded, 386. 0000000000 in the name of any other religion and from anti-Muslim hate crimes. So welcome to Ramadan Ding Dong.
Goodness gracious, Mika. When you read out the statistics like that, it does take you back a bit, doesn't it? I think they're the only one who's perpetuating these horrific acts out there, aren't they? And I think people got to realise it. I don't know how many times we have these, you know, the radio shows we talk about. I hope that we've woke a lot of people up, because it is, as I've said time and time before, this is a credible threat for yourself, your families, and the future generations. And that's why we're here. That's why we have these shows, because that's what it's our calling, isn't it? To tell people, look what's happening in the UK, wherever you might be, whatever part of the world, I guarantee that it is coming your way. What you've seen and what you hear, what we talk about on the show, what's happening in the UK, guarantee, ladies and gentlemen, whatever part of the country or the world you come from, that it's headed your way. If it's not there, I'd be very surprised, because this is like a cancer. The tentacles are spread very wide, and I would say very much of a global position. It's more of a threat now, I would say. I think the world is more of a threat with Islam now than ever it was with the Nazi threat, what we had, that we fought the Second World War over. I think this is more of a threat to the world, and to world peace, than anything of our modern day. I would say, I don't know if for yourself, Kel, and Michael would be in agreement with that statement, I think. But today, I would say that this threat is more deadly and more dangerous than anything we've had, even going back to the Second World War, with what we had there. And that was pretty brutal. And so that's why I'm tending to look at it now, more of a looking out, looking in at the situation, the way that we are, where we stand today. So I don't know if you and Michael would like to respond to that, just that statement I just made there, Kel.
In the 1930s and 40s, the Western world saw the manifestation of fascism, Nazi ideology, and, of course, the imperialistic ideology of the Japanese. So the world was in its second war, and massive loss of life and terrible evil things were perpetrated. But the difference today with Islam is that we have an ideology that goes further than those evil ideologies, and it surpasses it, because intrinsically connected in this ideology is the teaching of martyrdom, and that is to die in the cause of killing other human beings. The German soldier wanted to live, and most Japanese did. At the end of the war, the Japanese developed a kamikaze, which was to serve the emperor. So it wasn't as serious a threat. Also, we have Islamic people all throughout the globe today, and a certain percentage of these Muslims that live in different nations all over this earth, without a doubt, subscribe to this ideology. A certain percentage of them will commit acts of terror, physical terrorist attacks. Another percentage of them quietly will support this jihad, either by donating money or however they, in a non-physical way, support it. So it's much more deadly. We also have social media. We have YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook. And the jihadist movement is using these three massive organizations, you know, that reach millions of people all over the world to promote their jihad and to recruit. So in the big picture, the threat is much more serious than what we had in the 20th century.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. You know, looking out to what we saw in those times, and the war that was fought, you know, the 30s and the 40s, it was nothing like what we this global jihad is a massive scale, isn't it, Michael? There's things going on right throughout the world, whatever part of the world we know that they are, you know, jihad is at work, and that is the thing that we. You know, it was more confined to Europe. The war that we had with Hitler and the Nazis was more confined to the Western, that side of the Western Hemisphere, wasn't it? To what we've got now, which is more globally based. So I think we are in agreement that is the case, as you say, but the different aspects of it, it is a lot more deadly and something that we must, whether politicians like it or not, they've got to address this. They've got to get serious with this because we are heading for really bad days ahead in the future if we don't do something to stop it in its tracks now. And if that means taking up arms and doing what we've got to do, so be it. I think that's the only option, isn't it, Michael? Would you not agree? It's becoming that if they're not going to, if politicians are not going to admit that we've got problems with Islam, then, you know, we're losing the battle. You know, we need people to stand up and say, look, we had the Czechoslovakian president actually stand out and say exactly what we talked about, how deadly Islam is. It's old ideology, the whole thing about it. But he's been the only, well, apart from Geert Wilders and other great people like that, he's been the only person that will said it exactly for what it is. He has seen the threat, and he's been vilified for what he said. But he is like us. We know what we're going to experience, and it doesn't matter what they try to do to bury it. This is a threat to us all. This is it. There's no getting away from it. And no matter what they say or do, we're going to have to come to a day where we're going to have to confront our enemies head on. And it's we can't step away from it, can we, Michael? This is it. It's heading our way. Whatever happens, it's going to be a confrontation, whatever. And I just think people really need to step up and to take notice of what we're saying, because it is definitely on its way. It could flare up at any time. Let's be honest, Michael and Kel. It, something could kick this off totally. And before we know it, Europe, the whole of Europe could be, urban guerrilla warfare is going on here, there, and everywhere, couldn't it? That's how precocious the times we live in at this moment, I would say. That it's definitely a tinderbox, you know, globally, I would say.
The problem today is that during the time of the 20th century, governments of Western nations were committed and had strong resolve to utterly crush the enemy. And that's what was done. Militarily, the enemy was decimated, and they were degraded. They could no longer wage war. They were brought to their knees. Now, granted, that was a standing army we were fighting, and warfare was different. We're fighting terrorism and, you know, an insurgency, and there is a difference. But the problem is that the leaders of Western nations, and you could pick any Western country from the United States to go to Canada, go to any country in Europe, they do not have the desire to deal with this. And when they did, as the wars we saw in Iraq and in Afghanistan, the way the battle was fought was very politically correct. A lot of restrictions were put on the men and women, you know, over there in country fighting. And that's not the way to deal with this enemy. So we can't rely on our government to protect us, ultimately, and to have the will and good sense and the courage to take this enemy on and to fight them, you know, in the proper way. Because Islamic fascist ideology is sweeping this globe. It is like a black plague that is moving from one country to the next country. And once again, back to the social media, it's a key thing. The social media is a major tool of these jihadists, and it's a very effective tool for them to recruit and radicalize Muslims living in Western nations to prompt them to commit acts of murder within those countries or to go overseas and to fight in the battlegrounds of Syria and Iraq. They come back from those battlegrounds trained in the use of arms, small arms and explosives, and they pose a major threat within those countries once they return. So the big picture is bad.
I agree.
It's a bad picture,
I was going to say something what Eric Kyle said. I hope you don't mind. Eric Kyle was saying in the chat room that the invention of television changed how we wage wars now. And you know what, Eric? I think I agree with you with exactly how, you know, we're without television. When we went to war, there was no media coverage, and there was a, like, wars used to be waged, wasn't it, Michael, with the fog of war. You know, a battle gone on, and we'd hear about it maybe a couple of days later. That's how, you know, our governments at the time, they didn't, you know, maybe we took casualties. They didn't want to impose upon our countries of the sort of casualties until a couple of days after, until they've got all the information. But that's how that they used to do things, and that was before television. And I think I agree with Eric what he said there, that it has influenced the way that the wars are being fought now, with more of a media circus running in the background all the time. I think you would agree with that as well, and probably Kel would. He made a very good point there. So thank you, Eric, for that.
Oh yeah, I agree absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, the idea that we have that we have to have service members with cameras on their helmets is a bunch of garbage. I mean, you know, the idea that every soldier, Marine, and so forth has to be monitored and their conduct on the battlefield has to be scrutinized and all these restrictions are placed on them, all that does is benefit the enemy. That's all it does, and puts them in a precarious situation where we've had people in the U.S., I don't know about Canada, but certainly in England and America, we've had people come back from war and be prosecuted and even convicted and sentenced to long prison terms for doing their job, which is to kill the enemy. You know,
oh, yeah,
so that's
we've
another
had that
problem.
In Canada. We've had a few cases in Canada where that has occurred, and Corporal Samuro comes to mind, and I'll bring that up and put it in the chat room for everybody, Mike.
Thank you, Kel. I was going to say, Michael, maybe we can carry on with this conversation a little bit, but I think we've, it's a Comedy Central night tonight, and I do know that Michael Kell's got some clips lined up for us this evening, so I was wondering if you'd like myself want to hear what Kell's got lined up for this evening. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, Kel, actually.
Usually on Friday nights, guys, we try to lighten things up just a little bit, because being a counter jihadist or pro-Westerners, as my friend Eric Bressel prefers that we call ourselves, we have a clip, and it is called What You Just Said. And it's usually pertaining to the issues of Islam, but I came across this. I think a lot of people have probably heard it, but believe me, it's worthy of an encore. There was a woman in the United States who was concerned about the deer crossing signs, and so let's take a listen to this. It's 3 minutes and 45 seconds long, and then we'll have our What You Just Said rebuttal.
Mission is all that's going on there. Now, Donna, you got quite the vent today. It sounds like what's going on with you.
Well, I wanted to voice my opinion on something that's been bothering me for a really long time.
Okay.
I tried writing the newspaper and contacting TV stations, but nobody seems to want to stay with this. So that's why I'm calling you guys. Okay.
What's the issue?
Well, over the past few years, I've been involved in three separate car accidents involving deer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with the population and everything. Each of these incidents, they've occurred shortly after I saw a deer crossing sign on the highway. Well, my frustration is that Minnesota and North Dakota Departments of Transportation would allow these deer crossings to be in such high traffic areas. I mean, I've even seen them on the interstate. Why are we encouraging deer to cross at the interstate? I don't get it. That's such a high-traffic area. I mean,
are you kidding?
I understand that deer are wild animals, and they need to travel across the streets occasionally to survive, and, you know, of course, to find food, but it seems to me that so irresponsible of us to allow these deer crossings to be in areas where these deer are so likely to be struck by oncoming traffic. I mean, wouldn't you agree? I mean, it's just, I mean, you'd think they would put deer crossings maybe, you know, in, you know, smaller towns, maybe during a, like at a school crossing. That's it would be a safer place for them to cross.
Wait.
You know, put the deer crossing sign.
You know, deer crossings aren't telling deer that it's safe to cross there. It's just more of like an alert for drivers so they know it's like a high deer population.
The government put the deer crossings there. They can direct the deer population anywhere they want to by moving that deer crossing sign. I mean, you know, why in the world would they place it on the highway or the interstate, you know? I mean, God, there are so many other places I can think of than putting the deer crossing signs on busy highways and interstates.
You seem to be under the misunderstanding that the deer are somehow attracted to the deer crossing sign.
Well, yeah, the deer crossing sign is there to allow the deer to know that's where they need to cross.
Right. And all these car accidents you had involved a deer after you saw a deer crossing sign.
Exactly. I mean, I'm trying to watch out for the deer, but, I mean, speed limit's 55, 65. How am I supposed to, you know, you can't brake really quick if, you know, the deer just is crossing in that deer crossing area.
So you'd like to see these signs move somewhere safer?
Right. If we can move them, like, don't put deer crossing signs on the interstate or freeways. You know, put them in lower traffic areas. You know, somewhere where the speed limit's, you know, a lot slower.
Uh-huh.
You know, maybe small towns. I don't know. I think school crossings is a good idea.
Well, listen, we will, yeah, I mean, you say you've tried to contact quite a few people about this.
Right, yeah. I wrote, like, at least 3 or 4 letters, and...
We will spread the word, okay? We will try to kind of help you raise some awareness for this issue, okay?
Oh, thank you. We need to move those deer crossing signs.
We appreciate your comment this morning.
All right, thanks.
Bye.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
And she was a genuine caller. I thought it was just, you know, like a spoof, a comedy spot. But I looked into it, and oh yeah, they invited her back, and she said that she felt really stupid. She did not realize what the deer crossing signs actually meant, and she was mocked at work, and her family was teasing her.
Donna the deer.
Donna the deer lady.
She's done in good faith, you know. I look at it like that, you know. It was just naive, and yeah, it's a bit stupid, but. You know, people can, you know, sometimes they're not thinking properly about the situation that the signs are there for the drivers.
We're
isn't
all
it,
singing,
Kel? It's
quite
obvious what the signs
all
are there.
We're singing, a deer, a female deer, hooray, a tropical and sun.
But she had to think about it. I mean, if there was, say, you know, what she was talking about, the signs being on the motorways and that, I mean, if anybody's going along at, say, maybe 50 or 60 mile an hour, and there's no signs to warn you of a deer, and all of a sudden a deer runs across the road and you hit it, you could end up, being killed, couldn't you, yourself, you know? That's why they've got the signs. I mean, my goodness me, I thought she'd have sussed that out, you know, that was the reason why the signs. Because, as you say, deer will cross the road and they will be in accidents, that's it, you know? But it was funny, though, I could say. bless her. She's just naive.
I just thought that everybody would enjoy that moment of levity. And back to you, Jeff.
Well, there you go, Michael. What do you think about that that clip that we just heard? It was I don't know whether the word is naive or just plain stupid. I don't know, Mike. I don't want to be rude as such.
No, it's a bit of humor. It's always good to interject a little humor now and again.
It certainly is. But, Kel, once again, thank you for that. It did give us a few chuckles, I know, in the chat room. Had people laughing. But that's it.
You're welcome,
people. But as I say, like, my goodness me, you know, Kel, I've just noticed the time. In a very short while, I might be able to do what I normally do. Call back in. I just hope I don't drop asleep before I call back in. But as I say, tonight, ladies and gentlemen, this is our Comedy Central. It's nice because we thought we'd get back into a theme of on Fridays. So when we haven't got a demonstration or something like that, then we do like to have a bit of lightheartedness. But at the same time, as you could hear, we do talk about some of the serious issues, which involves, of course, Islam. And what we're talking about, what's going on within the English Defence League, what we're doing. Tonight, as I say, I know in the future, ladies and gentlemen, the things are really looking bright for the EDL. I can't go into no details as such, but things are on the horizon, which I'm quite excited about. And as soon as that time comes, I want to share with you, the great listeners out there, some of the great things that's it's coming up on the horizon. That's all I'm going to say. So I like to whet our listeners' appetites about future things coming up, Kel, because I'm very excited. It's, you know, as I say, things are really stepping up a little bit within the English Defence League. We are looking forward and all I'm going to say is in the very near future, we're going to have some very interesting people that will be... we're coming onto the show, you know, the shows that we've got some very interesting people. So that's all I'm going to say. Like yourself, Kel, I'm looking forward to the future shows with the English Defence League, you know, because we're definitely going to be having some interesting days ahead of us. So, Kel, what else have we got that we wanted to discuss tonight? Have we got anything else that we need to be discussing here? Because there is a demonstration coming up in Batley, which is West Yorkshire. I haven't got the dates in front of me, but I know it's coming up very soon. And,
somebody mentioned in the chat room that it is... August 9th,
okay, so we'll start...
Not too sure, though, not too sure. If somebody in the chat room can correct us...
yes, please, maybe...
We'd very much appreciate that.
Yes, please. But as I say, you know, we've got some upcoming demonstrations, and whenever we come across some of the future demonstrations, I've normally been putting them in my little diary, and for the life of me, I don't know where I put my diary, Kel. I can't find it. I've put it in a safe place, so safe I can't find it. My goodness me, what am I like?
Did you look under your pillow? That's where I keep mine.
No,
and I write it every night, and I say, that my boyfriend is so dreamy.
What you like, Kel? But she's in a funny mood tonight, Michael. As I say, it's definitely Comedy Central time tonight.
Oh, when am I ever not?
Well, that's right. It's just say it's we do like to sometimes have a fun show like we do with the Comedy Central. That's why we named it Comedy Central, because some of the Fridays that we was doing it, we started to change things a little bit, and it's a lot of people enjoyed what we've been doing. So we carried on in that way for quite a while, wasn't we, Kel?
Oh, I know, but some days I do go, hi, is this mic on?
Yeah, well, I think most of us do sometimes. But I just thought we go on about talking about other issues that maybe we want to be talking about. I was going to say I've noticed also we got Sue from New Mexico, who's also always listens into the shows and such a great contributor to a lot of other people's shows on Blog Talk Radio, promoting our shows all around the place. So I've got to give a big wave to Sue. Thank you for being here and supporting the show, Sue, and all the great works that you do, and all the other great people out there that, you know, they do. There's a lot of people out there. Can we got to talk about our unsung heroes out there? So many people in the background of what we're doing, you know, the anti-jihad movement. There's so many people out there that, you know, that helps, that don't get the recognition that they should do. But I'm saluting everyone out there. You know who you are, and thank you for all the hard work that you do in the background, quietly going about your business and doing the great works you do. So it's nice to have the recognition, isn't it, Kel? You know, to these great people. There's so many out there. So it's something I just wanted to, you know, sort of give them all a big shout out there for all the great the hard work they do, and just to say in the future, some of the exciting things is due to a lot of these people, the unsung heroes out there who puts these things together. So just goes to show you that what we're talking about there, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, sorry, Jeff. Go ahead. Sorry.
No. That's okay, Kel, because I'm probably going to have to go for a quick break any minute now. And I was just wondering, have we got anything so that I give me time to call back in?
We sure do.
Funny, I thought you might have, Kel.
I was just going to say, after we come back from break, Michael, if you could expand on that, the unsung heroes and the work you do for the Wounded Warriors.
Yes,
we would love
certainly
to hear about that. But, Jeff, yep, you have to call back in, so I'll let you go. And this is just especially for you, Jeff. This is from Bigfoot. This is Boris the Spider.
Oh.
I'm
Goodness me. not a lot I say about that, is it?
We love you, Jeff.
Yes, I know. You're trying to frighten the life out of me, but yes. But,
and just to let you know that EDL Minx put a link in the or a comment in the chat room that there is also a regional on the 19th of July in Hexport. And let me scroll up. The feed is moving very, very fast.
Yeah, that's Batley.
Batley is the 9th of August. Yeah, Batley is the 9th of August. That's the national demo. And Hexport is the 19th of July, and that's the regional. So there you go.
Okay, we've got, well, that's coming up quite soon, actually, the 19th, isn't it? The regional one. That's about a couple of weeks away, isn't it? Less than a couple of weeks. Batley the 9th of August national. Hexport is the 19th of July. So I'm a little bit confused with the dates there. Eric's saying,
well, you can't find your diary.
Like,
you were
nightmare.
Writing in your diary last night, and you were writing about that you were writing about that dreamy girlfriend, and it's like, oh, my girlfriend is so dreamy, and you tucked it under your pillow. It's probably behind your headboard now.
EDL Minx said, yeah, 2 weeks, Jeff, mate. Yeah, thanks, Minx, appreciated. Yes, as I say, two weeks, and as I say, that's a region. That's a regional. It's not a national. It's a regional demonstration. Am I correct there? The text has gone very quick there. It does really fly quick in this chat room, doesn't it, Kelly? Batley, 9th of August, National Hexport, 19th of July. So we've got one. Hexport is the 19th of July, regional, and the 9th of August is a national at Batley. So there you go, guys. So thank you very much for the dates there, Adel Mix. Really, really appreciated. So there you go. So that's a couple of dates that we've just been discussing there. But as I say, we was just before we went into a little bit of another segment there. We was going to ask Michael a little bit about some of the works that the great works that he does, wasn't we, Kel? This is what we was going to do for the next part of this show. So I was wondering, Michael, would you like to tell the listeners out there some of the things that you do to help these some of the military that come home from war and that, and what you do to try to help their needs and everything. So go ahead, Michael. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Jeff. I don't give much acknowledgement to myself. I mean, I've been very privileged and a very blessed individual to meet scores of wounded warriors, that's the term in America, combat wounded Marines, soldiers, Navy SEALs, people served in the Air Force, mainly the four branches of service in America, which would be Army, Marine Corps, Navy, and Air Force. In the past 5 years at some of the largest military hospitals in the United States, and been fortunate to do different projects for them, collect a lot of things that people would donate across the United States. People would get me a lot of items that would be given to them. Have been able to get iPads and, you know, Mac computers as gifts, and other things just to bring military coins. You know, mainly just a whole array of different things. But it's not just really the physical gift that means so much. It's when you come into the hospital room of someone, they've never met you before, you've never met them, and you look them in the eyes and you give them a really heartfelt acknowledgement of what they have sacrificed. And we're talking about major sacrifices, anywhere from the loss of one limb to even the maximum loss of four limbs. I've met a few service members who tragically have lost all their limbs from an IED. And it's a very powerful experience, to say the least. People who've suffered injuries where they've been blinded, you know, they've lost their vision, some where they've been disfigured, physically disfigured, and whatnot. So all these things that I've been very fortunate to receive from a lot of great American patriots and bring on these trips, I probably made at least 40 visits, maybe more. I don't really keep count, but it's been a massive number of, you know, bedside visits to wounded service members. Is, again, the real, you know, genuine recognition. That's what they want. They want to be recognized for what they've done, and that's understandable, and, you know, their sacrifice, and know that people out there support them and are thinking about them, praying for their recovery and for their loved ones, and, of course, praying for their brothers and sisters in arms who are back still, you know, on the battlefield fighting these Muslim terrorist savages. And I have a lot of different, you know, memories of things. I hope to write a book one day about my experiences. The book won't be about me. It'll be about them. They don't think of themselves as heroes.
It'll be a great,
you know,
book, Michael.
Well, God willing, I hope to do it. And it's not about me. It's to give them the acknowledgement and recognition
yes.
that they deserve. But
of
we will
course.
Call them heroes, and they don't see themselves as heroes. To anyone who served
no,
in
they
combat,
never
they'll tell... Right, they'll tell you that the heroes are the ones that didn't make it home, and that's true.
You know, this is something that that we come across before. How many times it's not us. We've come home. We've left a lot of our brothers behind. You know, this is how many times have we heard that story, Michael? That some of our military said it's not us the heroes. You know, it's the people that we left behind. They're the heroes. They paid the ultimate sacrifice. And as you say, you've seen some devastating things. As you say, people have lost their arms and their legs and eyes, sight, and been really badly disfigured with, with what's going on in some of these war-torn countries that they've been to. But thank goodness there's people like yourself out there that. You know, that put yourself out to help these people as much as you can, and the other great people to acknowledge all the great works that they do for these great people that go to these war-torn countries and never know what they're going to experience and how it's going to affect them. As we know, that sometimes it could be. It might not be so much when you're there, you're on a battlefield and things are going on, that you don't take it all in. It's when you're home and you're in a peaceful surrounding that this is when the nightmares come back, isn't it, Michael, with a lot of these young men and young women that go to these war-torn countries and have to see some actually horrific things. And it would affect anybody. I've got to admit, it's got to, isn't it, Michael? You know, you take all this thing and... Your brain's like a camera. It takes in all the memories and different things, and sometimes it doesn't always come out until you're home and you're in peaceful surroundings, that's when it starts to come back, floods back at you. And I think this is what we've a lot of these young men and women have been experiencing over the time. So, but we need more help. We need more help with where the governments are concerned, you know, not to put these people to the side. They need sometimes a counselling. They need help. They need to reestablish their lives back in civvy life, haven't they, Michael? And
absolutely.
Doesn't matter what money to be afforded to these people, they deserve it because they're the ones who's going out there and risk their lives for their countries and their nations and doing the right thing. And only right that the governments involved with sending these people to these wars should pay up, should help these people out, whatever the cost might be. And I think, I don't know how many people agree, but I think most of the people we see in the chat would agree with that, that we need more help for these young men and women. So great work you do, though, Michael. We appreciate it. And it's great to have you on the show to talk about some of the things that you do as well. But Ed, would you like to elaborate a little bit more, Michael, some of the other issues involving some of the work you do as well while you're here.
Well, I want to say this, and it's important that we understand the war began on 9/11, but it began way before that because Islam has been at war with the West. And, you know, the fact we have a lot of combat wounded, and once again, let's also focus on people who come back from the battlefield that don't have physical injuries, but they have nightmares. And, you know, I have a lot of friends who are combat veterans, and they've shared with me things that, you know, are not generally shared with the general public because it's very personal. So people have seen what goes on in war, to lose your brother, you know, to see someone bleed out and die in front of you, to take their last breath in your arms, you know, to tell you whatever a person says before they physically die, you know, to see this stuff, it's very traumatic. And as you said, the mind records it and it goes into your memory. So post-traumatic stress is not a mental disorder. It's just, it's a psychological issue, and everyone deals with their experiences on the battlefield differently. But it can be very detrimental. It can interfere with a person's life and even bring a person to commit suicide and to take their life.
Yeah.
And that's a tragic thing.
We've had numerous cases, Michael, haven't we?
Sure. Not just in America, but certainly in the UK, and I would think in Canada.
Yes.
It's a tough thing with these people experience, and they come back and they bring it with them, and it takes time to transition, to come out of that world. You know,
yeah,
I didn't serve in the military.
Saying, Michael, it does,
right.
Doesn't it?
Right. I didn't
they
serve
need
in
the counseling,
forces.
Don't they? We've got
well,
to say
need
that they need...
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So my dad served in the Army. He was a combat medic, and taking care of him and meeting a lot of veterans started this journey in my life. But once you get ensconced in this military world, which I have as a civilian, okay, you start to see it differently, and you understand there's a great distinction and divide between that world and the civilian world.
Yes.
And when you come
exactly,
out of that world, when
I
would come, right, I'll share this with you in the audience. When I would leave these military bases, and I would be there for a certain length of time, and I come back and, you know, come back to where I am and whatever, other parts of America, it was sometimes a culture shock for me to go from such an environment and then to go into an environment that is completely different. And most of the people just don't get it. Unfortunately, they don't understand that world.
Yeah.
And a lot of them just don't have the respect and acknowledgement for these sacrifices made. Now, here I am. I'm a civilian. So think of someone coming out of serving for 3, 4, 5 years or longer, someone coming back from war, from Afghanistan or Iraq, and they're all geared up, and these people are trained to react. Their training kicks in when you know, contact ensues with the enemy and they're engaging, you know, in battle. So now they have to kind of, you can't just shut it off. It's not like a light switch. That's where post-traumatic stress comes in. You know, it's not like a light switch and you turn it on and off. You say, okay, well, I'm out of the armed forces now. I'm out of the Marine Corps. I'm out of the Army. You know, I'm back here. I'm living my civilian life. But, of course, it doesn't work that way. And the governments just don't do enough for our veterans. So we, as patriots in our respective countries, need to try to do something or support an organization that is, you know, a legitimate organization to give back to them, because whatever we do throughout the rest of our life, if I lived another 100 years, I could never repay fully the debt that these people are owed.
I think you make a very good point there, Michael. I mean, we can only do so much. It does, as you say, sometimes it's just nice to know that they know if they come back from, you know, from overseas and, you know, trying to settle back into a normal civilian type of life, it's going to take time for the, you know, for the whole system to wind down within these good people. And I think that they do need some help to help them to reestablish their lives back in civil life. And I think this is something that our governments and anybody out there, because we know we've got a lot of great people that isn't associated with the governments as such. This is, they do it independently because they think this is the right thing to do. But it would be nice that these governments, our governments, do spend a bit more time and a bit more money to help in resettling some of our military when they come home. Well, most of our military when they come home. I think it'd be money well spent, and I think you'd be in agreement with me, Michael. It's just something we must put a bit of pressure on our politicians to, you know, instead of them talking the talk, let's see them do something positive to help our veterans and those great people, their heroes, as you say, Michael, when they return home. Very good points to discuss tonight, though, and something we're always going to be discussing, Michael. This is something that we've been discussing right from the beginning when we started doing the shows, you know, discussing about the military and the way that they're so badly treated and what should be done. So, you know, and we know there's great organisations like yourself that's helping, but we need to have backing from the government. The government needs to put more money into helping these young men and young women, as you say, when they come back from and re-establish themselves back into civilian life once again. But, Carol, I was going to say to you, anything you'd like to ask Mike, some of the issues that... Because your father was in the military as well, wasn't he, Carol? Your father.
Oh, yeah. I was adopted, and my adopted father was in the Canadian Navy, and that was during the Cold War. But my natural father was a World War II veteran, and he also served in Korea, and he did peacekeeping duties with the then-proud UN in Cyprus. I come from a very long line of soldiers, and so...
You're a Michael, military brat. Is that what they call
Army, I would be referred to as an Army and Navy brat. Yeah. No, my natural father was Army, and my adopted father was Navy, so I guess I'm a bit of a hybrid. And thus, I was very, very much attracted to the work that Michael does. I'm very proud of you, Michael, that you go out of your way to do this. And I see the work that you do, and I see the horrific injuries that are inflicted upon our soldiers coming home to fight what? The scourge. And everybody knows here what the scourge is. The scourge are cowards. They are farmers by day, and they're jihadists by night, and they love nothing more than death. And there is no chance of any reformation in any Islamic state, none whatsoever. I know that I have interviewed majors in the military, the U.S. military, and they have said, but you have to understand, you have to understand one thing, is that when we are sent out on a mission, we stay there until the mission is accomplished, but at what expense? As a civilian, I see the work that Mike does, Michael Green does, I should say, because he deserves the honorific of Mr. Michael Green. You're a great man, Michael. I see the handiwork that is inflicted upon the soldiers. As a civilian, as I say, I really, truly want them all returned home and to fight the battles on our own home fronts. We are under siege with the Islamists, the Mohammedans. We are under siege. We need to protect our borders. The United States is having a hell of a time with their southern borders. Now they're dealing with these Amnesty kids coming up from South America via Mexico through California, and Homeland Security is endorsing this. We need to ensure that our borders are protected, and we have to ensure that we keep the Islamists out. And I don't care what it takes. I don't have any problems with a sense of martial law or internment camps. If they bomb one more bloody church in North Africa, we're going to burn down 10 mosques because the gloves are off. I've had it, and Michael has too, and so has Jeff. Enough is enough. I am up to my neck with enough. All of us are. This is it. The game is on. They declared war on us. And Michael is right. It happened long before 9/11. 9/11 was the biggie, though, and 7/7, of course, and Spain, of course, was a biggie. Two biggies there that woke us up somewhat, but we're still battling the scourge. And I was just going through the chat, and this is unbelievable. The thing is that we always seem to give them a free pass. These Mohammedans, they always get a free pass. Drake Strum put an article in the chat room, and this is from the Asian Image, and this is a new European directive states that Muslims can have the whole month off during Ramadan on full pay. And, of course, we know what Ramadan a ding-dong is, but for those who don't know, it's the time when Muslims fast from sunrise to sunset, and fasts this year are set for the last over 19 hours. Yeah, 19 hours. From Monday, any Muslim or Mohammedan who wants to take the whole month off can apply for a special dispensation order, which allows them time off for religious reasons. I'm going to look into this one a little further, Jeff. I think this might be worthy of a standalone discussion with the panel probably next week. But this is what I mean. They have been at war with us since the 7th century, ever since that little creep crawled out of the cave and came down and said, oh, look what, we got ourselves a new religion. Well, Islam is not a religion. Islam is a political entity trying to wrap itself within a religion, and this is why I am working so desperately hard with other people to ensure that our governments, our respective governments, whether it be in England, Canada, the United States, Australia, wherever in the West, that we pressure our respective governments to de-index Islam as a religion and classify it for what it is. It's a political entity, and it should be a banned entity. This is craziness, Jeff and Mike. I mean, for goodness sake. I mean, these mosques can apply for a whole month off with pay to celebrate Ramadan
and
Ding-Dong.
And to think that this might be the case, that they're allowed that. Well, it just goes to show you how far they like to push things and how they get their own way. If that is the case, I think it's totally a disgrace that people are bending over so far to accommodate these people with this, as you say, this Ramadan a ding-dong. It is a total disgrace, and I would have thought that they would have said, you're having a laugh, go away, you know, we've got better things to do. But no, we will look at this, and it sounds like it could be a good idea. Ooh, there's leftists, you know, the idiots out there. I bet it's them that would be in agreement. Yes, that sounds a good idea. Why not?
Oh.
Well, why can't we bend an extra couple more yards, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We've done so much so far, so let's continue. Yeah, right and all. No, it's not good enough. But as I say, it's just the total insanity of Islam, as you say, Kel. It's the insanity of it all, because that's what it is. It's totally madness.
It's mass Islamity. And we have to stop the insanity. And Jeff and Michael, I want to share something with you and the listeners, is that I have been in talks with a group in Toronto, and we are going to start a grassroots organization. I'm not only taking my voice to the airwaves, I am taking my boots to the ground. I am getting kinetic. We've had it in Canada. We are going to start getting busy. And I am very, very proud to announce that I'll be working alongside Eric Brassell. He is a renowned pro-Westerner, and he likes that better than counter-jihadists, so that's why I say that. I'll be working alongside him and a group of other people. We are going to start making a difference in Canada. We are taking Canada back. We are going to let Islam know that there is no place for them in Canada. And I am so excited about this new endeavor. We're going to have our first meeting in 3 weeks.
Absolutely. Well, this is breaking news for the English Defence League radio show this evening, Kel. And it's, as I say, ladies and gentlemen, me and Kel, we've all seen closed talks. Now, this is a bit of a special tonight, Kel, because I didn't even know this, did I? And we're very close friends, me and Kel. So I've got to big salute to you.
and Derek Brousseau with your future endeavors there, and I'm sure it's going to be very active and very positive in its outcome. So well done, Kel. And so this is breaking news for the English Defence League radio show this evening that you've set up this new grassroots. What you're going to call? What is going to be called? Have you talked about a name? It's been nice to be able to.
It's going to be an organization, but we don't have a name. I don't think we will.
Okay.
But we will be a pressure group, and I'm sure you can expect some arrests. Because we're not going to be shy about our feelings about Islam and its infiltration within our universities, our high schools, our public schools, our institutions, and we are not going to put up with fully paid months off because these freak shows want to celebrate Ramadan Ding Dong. We're going to let our government know that we have had it, we are done. And if you don't do something about it, the people will. We're going to start out. It's going to be like a tea team party movement. There's going to be a small group of us here, and there'll be another small group over there, and it's going to be like and so on and so on and so on. This is our endeavor. I am going to be part of hoping that this takes off because it's over. It's over. The crusade is on, and we have to get proactive instead of being reactive. Enough. Stop.
Well, I was going to say, Kel, what interest have you had, I mean, from you know, some people that you talk to, you know, has it been quite positive in the response from other people, you know, our Canadian friends and that, Kel?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I'm getting positive responses from my letter-writing campaign. I know a lot of
awesome.
People say, you know, what's the point in writing a letter to the politician? Well, the thing is if you can get enough people together and inundate one politician at a time, and I was speaking with No Way 90 on Reactionary Speaks Network about this last week, and he said what you should do is also register your letter because they're forced to sign for it. And if they're signing for a letter, they're going to have to open it, and they're going to have to read it. So I've been working with people in Canada to do that, and we're getting together our form letters, but we also encourage your individual comments. And Jeff, I'm a very busy lady now.
Well, it seems that way, but then it's something that I know that you'll relish. There's this new project that you've got that's up and coming, and they'll be up and running in a very short time. So a big salute to you and everybody else, and you'd have to keep us all informed of how things are progressing.
I most certainly will.
And that, you know,
I
because
most
we're
certainly
all in this
will.
Together. And very proud of what you're doing, Kel. You're doing absolutely awesome work. It's great work. So as I say, we've got so many people, ladies and gentlemen, like Kelly and Eric Brousseau and as I say, Michael Green with the great works he does. As I say, with the time that I've been doing these shows, I've met some absolutely fantastic people, and I always feel very humble to be around and speaking to the great people that I've had the chance to actually. We've done interviews with people like Pamela Geller, which has always been it's stayed for me for the rest of my days, and with Tommy Robinson, Kevin Carroll, some great people we've had on the shows, and future people that we're going to be having.
One thing we're going to do is we're going to the Al Quds rally. They have the Al Quds rally at Queen's Park every year at the end of Ramadan Ding Dong, and we are going to a counter rally. We are not putting up with the fails anymore, and that would be the Palestinians. We're not putting up with that. We're not putting up with their speeches. We're not putting up with their hate speech. We're not putting up with imams who come along and say that every Jew over the age of 18 is fair game to be shot in the head. We're not going to have 14-year-old boys reciting hate speeches. We're not putting up with that. We will counter rally, and believe me. yeah,
it,
I know.
That is, they're breaking the law anyway. You
yes,
you're
they are. They're violating hate laws in Canada. And but we're going to be a little more circumspect, and we're going to be a lot more prepared. If we have to get our megaphone and we have to counter them and try to speak over them, we will. If we're escorted out of Queen's Park, we will protest. Enough, I say. Enough, I say. People, please, I implore you, get involved in the pro-Western
movement. Yeah, well, we've always said that, Carol. As I say, anybody that's, you know, in Canada, and Kel's got all the details of how to get in touch with herself and that, and you would get involved, ladies and gentlemen, you know, wherever you might be, anything like what Kel's been talking about that you want to set up, do it. You know, do it because it's important that, you know, that you do things. Become proactive. Don't just be sitting there at, you know, sitting around a dinner table discussing what needs to be done. Do it. Get talking to some of your neighbours. Discuss the issue. Get together. Get a group of people together because this is how you grow. This is how you grow and get more people involved. You know, more people becoming proactive. So let's do it, guys. Let's do it. I mean, Kel, I'm very proud that. Very proud that you've come on the show and discussing what you've got planned for yourself and the great Canadian people out there.
I have
there.
A lot of things planned.
It's a long time overdue as well, Kel, I've got to say. And it's good to see people like yourself and other good people can see the credible threat there and are doing something positive. And we would always support the great people with the great works that they do. You know, I'm talking on behalf of the English Defence League now. we're going to be following very closely. Well, I am, definitely, Kel, and you keep me up to speed and so that we can discuss it on future shows as well because, you know, this is we're all in this together. So, great
news. Oh, yeah,
news.
And it's going to be a lot easier for me to get around because now we have a GO train service in my humble little city here. And so I can be in Toronto in less than an hour as opposed to driving by car where it would take me 2.5 hours because the traffic congestion is terrible. But my GO station is like a 10-minute walk for me. I can hop on a GO train and be right in the heart of Toronto in less than an hour.
Absolutely.
This
awesome,
is
Kelly.
Worth it to me. We have to get kinetic now. We have to have the radio shows. We have to have our blogs, and we also have to put our boots to the ground. And there you go.
And a big salute to all the bloggers out there, and we've got some people in the shows. Guys, especially like Holger's got a great blog. So many people we've got sitting in the chat room. Bigfoot, great blog. Please put your blogs in the chat room so that people can follow you and just build it builds up what we're all doing, what we're trying to achieve. Something what Eric said, that Eric Kyle was sitting in the chat room this evening saying, yep, Jeff, we need to start getting millions of people from around the world on the streets. I agree 100% with what Eric said there, and this is what we can achieve. We can achieve that. You know, there's a lot of people that listen to the shows. Come on, people. We've often said it. Time is of an essence. Time now to stop just thinking, oh, well, I might look into this next week. No, the time is an essence. Do it now. Start now. Let's, as you say, Eric, let's get millions of people on the streets because we're fed up with what's been going on. If we want the freedoms for our future generations. We have to do something now, you know, not next week, not the month after, whatever, because time is an essence. Time is an essence now, and we must step it up. This is what Dave said, Dave Bossman said, we've got to start becoming more robust with some of the things that we are doing now. Oh, okay. Thank you, Holger. I just had a little message there. No, well, Holger's got a great. He hasn't got. He's retired. He's his blog. But he's got a great show. Hold you, I don't know if you've got a show this week, but ladies and gentlemen, you get a chance to listen to Hold Your Awakens show. He's absolutely awesome, this gentleman. As I say, I forgot that you told you were a blog there, so I feel a bit embarrassed about that, hold you, but thank you for giving me a heads up on that. But,
and Bigfoot, his blog as well, and he has been doing a marvelous job, as has Holger, and moving forward, they have been covering Operation American Spring, and that is another very, very important movement in the United States, so I'm very proud when I read their blogs.
Exactly. I was just asked as well, Edel Winks is asking me, Jeff, when you next go in on a demo? Well, I've got to be quite honest, Minx, that as you know, I've got some health issues myself and breathing issues. But if there is a local demonstration or something that's not too far, because it just totally wipes me out if I do too long a stint, if you know what I mean. But as I say, I've often said that I just wish I was maybe 20, 30 years a bit younger than what I am today, because I'll be at every demonstration. There's to be no stopping me, but my health dictates a lot of things I do these days, and doing these radio shows is what I've been doing is my way of doing my best for the organisation and that, and promoting what we do. But as I say, if I can, and it's not too far, I will always go on a demonstration. I try to go to as many things as I can with what we're doing there. So just to let you know. As I say, things just of late, my health hasn't been fantastic, as our listeners know out there. And so I've just got to take it on a daily, weekly basis these days. But anyway, big salute to everybody, that all our foot soldiers out there that travel many, many miles up and down the countries to the demonstrations. They're our heroes, every one of them, aren't they, Kel? These great people.
Oh, absolutely.
Men and women, our angels. God bless you. And we're going to do another show about the great works of our angels, because they are fantastic. They do great works out there. And as I say, they do stand with their men. It's something that they've always had within the English Defence League, and we're very proud of our ladies. So, and we'll say to any of these Muslims, don't you mess with our ladies. Don't mess with our angels.
You better believe
there
it.
There you go.
I was going to I sent you a message, but you probably can't see the chat room. But you do have a caller, but you also only have about 20 minutes left. And did you want to do an homage to our American listeners?
I'll tell you what. Before we do, let's just take a quick call, because this gentleman hasn't called in for a little while. It's always good to talk to one of our EDL members there, isn't it, Kel? So just
sure.
a quick call. Let's bring Frank on. Frank, it's been a little while there. I hope you're well, mate, and I hope things well your end. You're live. Go ahead,
I'm
mate.
I'm not Frank.
Oh, you're not
Frank. Oh, I'm sorry. Who are you?
Oh.
Did you push the wrong button? This is Stanger.
I think
No, it's
Stanger!
It's come up as Frank. Kel's put the wrong name in there, buddy.
Yeah, well, Kel gets it wrong every now and then. But hey, I wanted to just wish everyone a happy Independence Day. It's Independence Day here in the States. Now, we declared independence from Great Britain. We did not declare separation from you. We are one and the same. And our second war, our first war after we declared separation from Great Britain, was against Muslims. It was against the Barbary Coast pirates.
That's right.
That's correct.
President
that is,
Jefferson.
And we've been fighting them ever since. Which is, it's interesting, because the very first country that actually recognized our independence was Morocco, which is a Muslim country. And we've had friendly relations with them ever since. So not all of them are bad. Morocco's actually a pretty nice place. So they don't have to be bad. But when they become bad, then we have to fight against them. And we're all in this fight together. And that's
we certainly
that's a
are
big
thing. I mean, you're talking about becoming radicalized with what we're seeing throughout the world, that the ones that they say, oh, there's only a few of the radicals. If you've talked about it, it's 1,600,000, whatever it is.
You think that there's a percentage. Whatever.
That's a lot of people, isn't it, Mike?
It certainly is.
That's a lot of people.
And the radicalization is spreading through. And I read an article, a week or so ago, and I forget who did it, that said that, Christianity went through a reformation where they went back to the scriptures, where the individual people went back to the scriptures and read them and internalized them and brought about, and that was the reformation of Christianity, to be more peaceful and more accepting and more tolerant in that.
Yes.
And the same thing is actually happening with Islam, but they went back to their scriptures and became more radical and more violent and more intolerant because that's what their book preaches. And I know this because I've read the
damn thing. It gets worse as it goes along, doesn't it?
Yeah.
If you've noticed, you've read the Quran, that it seems that when their so-called prophets gathered the forces, the works that he was doing and what he was talking become more violent every time that he's picking up more followers. It was becoming the scriptures becoming more violent with the way to treat their enemies and that. And that is what we see, and this is what we're seeing now. It's like
exactly.
We're going back to the
this
time
is how
when,
I describe it to
my,
people. When I'm asked about it by people who haven't read them, and I've actually had several friends that haven't read either book, but I've described it as, the Holy Bible starts out as actually very violent and very, very cruel and very mean,
yes,
and gets progressively more tolerant and more passive. The Quran goes
talk about your abrogation.
Yeah, it goes exactly the opposite direction.
Yeah.
It starts out fairly
peaceful. It does. I've noticed that.
And gets progressively more violent.
We become more enlightened. With the Bible, we become enlightened people, didn't we? This is what you should say, the reformation of the Bible, and that is the scripture, should I say. And it's because we've become, moved out from a dark period into an enlightened period after the birth of Christ and the ascension and that, and the peaceful teachings and this, that. So it did become, we became more of an enlightened
tolerance,
people.
Acceptance. That's what we value that. And they don't. And this is why I also say, and I tell a lot of people, and it makes a lot of liberals really mad, a lot of the progressives really mad when I state, I can tell you flat out, Allah is not Yahweh. And they're not the same.
No, far from it. And I would expect you to have a few death threats if you talk to a Muslim or something like that, you'll get the death threats. Guarantee it, Spanger.
But I can point to where the differences are.
It's so good to have you. I'm sorry, I thought you was Frank that was coming on. So, good to hear your voice tonight, Spanger. Fantastic.
Oh well, it's good to be part of this program. I really enjoy it, and I try to grab it every time I can. So you go ahead and carry on with your show. I just wanted to wish everyone a happy Independence Day, and while we may be independent, we are not separate. We are with you.
Have a great evening.
God bless you all.
Have a great day.
So I'll catch you all later.
And of course, to all our American friends out there, have a great Independence Day, guys. God bless you all. Spanger, thank you for the call. It was awesome. Thank you very much. So, my goodness.
Great on, Spanger.
Fantastic.
And we are going to honor our American listeners and our American cousins. And, yes, today they are celebrating Independence Day, the 4th of July. Independence Day, commonly known as the 4th of July by the liberals, is a federal holiday in the United States of America commemorating the adoption of the Declaration of Independence on the 4th of July in 1776, declaring independence from the Kingdom of Great Britain, now officially known as the United Kingdom. Independence Day is commonly associated with fireworks, parades, barbecues, carnivals, fairs, picnics, concerts, baseball games, family reunions, and political speeches and ceremonies. In addition to various other public and private events celebrating the history, government, and traditions of the United States, Independence Day is the National Day of the United States. Now, during the American Revolution, the legal separation of the 13 colonies from Great Britain occurred on July 2, 1776, when the Second Continental Congress voted to approve a resolution of independence that had been proposed in June by Richard Henry Lee of Virginia, declaring the United States independent from Great Britain. After voting for independence, Congress turned its attention to the Declaration of Independence, a statement explaining this decision, which had been prepared by a committee of five with Thomas Jefferson as its principal author. Congress debated and revised the wording of the Declaration, finally approving it on July 4th. A day earlier, John Adams had written to his wife Abigail, "The second day of July, 1776, will be the most memorable epoch of the history of America. I am apt to believe that it will be celebrated by succeeding generations as the great anniversary festival. It ought to be commemorated as the day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty. It ought to be solemnized with pomp and parade, with shows, games, sports, guns, bells, bonfires, and illuminations from one end of this continent to the other, from this time forward, forevermore." And what Stanger said is true. The United States declared independence, not separation. And with this, we have this for our American listeners.
Winner, Celine Dion.
What so proudly we hail at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous night, o'er the ramparts we watched were forgotten.
In particular, because Celine Dion, as you know, is a Canadian. We are
awesome.
America's next-door neighbors. Oh, she's wonderful, and that she is very much a patriot as well. She stands for the United States. She stands for Canada. And when she sings that song, she does it justice. So, America, happy Independence Day on behalf of myself, Jeff Mitchell, Michael Green, and, of course, who joined us on the air, Stanger, and who's joining us in the studio as well is our sweet Sioux, New Mexico, Bigfoot COG, Drake's Drum, EDL Minx, Eric Kyle, numerous guests, Hold Your Awakens, Ree Parsons, and of course Stanger are joining us in the chat room, Jeff.
Absolutely fantastic. I've got to thank everybody for being here and supporting the show. And it's a special day today. It's Independence Day. And Kel, I think we've... that's the English Defence League.
Oh, you know what? I forgot a few people.
Members paying our respects to...
Oh, hang on, Jeff. Sorry. My screen jumped on me. I have to do this all over again because the screen jumped. Bigfoot, COG, Drake's Drum, EDL Minx, Eric Kyle, numerous guests, Hold Your Awakens, Ree Parsons, and Stanger 73. So my apologies to everybody. And, of course, once again, Sweet Sue for New Mexico, and Michael Green is the panelist with Jeff tonight, as long as with me. I'm Kel Fritzy of the Red Fox Blogger.
Yeah, thank you, Kel. Absolutely fantastic job of a great roll call for all of our guests and great supporters of the show. It's really, really appreciated. And what can I say? And it's great to have Michael a part of the panel this evening. My goodness me, the time, it always, I don't know why, Kel, but the time just seems to fly by when we do these shows, doesn't it? It really doesn't. But what I'm going to do now, is ask you, you've got a show tonight, haven't you, Kel? And would you like to tell our listeners the theme that you're going to be... what are you going to be talking about tonight? I don't know, it's going to be... it's probably going to be one of those...
I have no idea.
Maybe you're going to get down and...
I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just going... It's going to be a general show. As everybody knows, my co-host Tim is still enjoying a well-deserved holiday in Wales, and he's in southern Wales. And very nice countryside there. And but Fridays I fly solo. That's the F-bomb show. And I'm sure that it won't take me long to find something that I can sink my teeth into. And ladies and gentlemen, please be apprised that when I'm left to my own devices, there's always something that annoys me. And I don't have Jeff and I don't have Tim to rein me in.
How true. But
I'm left
to
my
own.
I mean,
for our listeners, though, then you do get a bit annoyed about. I think this is what they relish, and I think they take bets on when you're going to drop the F-bomb. And
absolutely. And yes, I'm on at 7 p.m. Eastern time, and what we do is that I usually wrap up about 8:30, and then we all spill over into our Reactionary Speaks show, and we're always half loaded by the time we get there. Because the F-bomb has been dropped a few times. And that is part of the show. If you listen to the Red Fox Blogger Fridays, you have to bring your bottle of scotch, and every time I drop an F-bomb, you have to take a shot.
You're going to turn all of our listeners into alcoholics, Kel. You do know that, don't you?
Oh, God.
Oh, but no, Kel always has a great show, ladies and gentlemen, so you get a chance to listen. I know sometimes it's a little bit late for, you know, this side of the pond, but please, if you do, and maybe it's maybe a little bit late, but catch her archives because you will love it. She's a fantastic lady. She does great works for this for the show, as the slides and everything, even though she keeps putting them bloody spiders in, guys. She keeps putting the bloody spiders in, trying to fuck the life out of me. What am I going to do? Kel, once again, I've got to thank you. But I'm going to say, Michael, it's been absolutely awesome to have you part of the team tonight and sharing some of the works that you do. And I hope you're going to come back. We've got another show Sunday. If you're around Sunday, please join us, because we love having you here, don't we, Kel?
Are you kidding? Michael Green, my dear man, you are an asset to every show you visit.
He certainly is. I agree with that 100%. So, Michael, it's as I said once again, it's been absolutely awesome you being on the show this evening and talking about the works and some of the issues that we really wanted to be discussing tonight. And you know what, Kel and Michael, I think we've covered a lot of things, but there's never enough time in the day. We could be talking about the issues. We're talking about with Islam and the aspects of Islam. We could be talking all night, all day, and we could do a 24-hour show, couldn't we? It's quite obvious. There's so much.
Yeah, unfortunately, we have to eat and sleep, though.
Yes, that's what
it kind of annoys me.
But as I say, guaranteed that we'll be back this Sunday. The English Defence League Radio Show will be back this Sunday. And we'll have a lot more. Maybe we'll be discussing future demonstrations coming up. Maybe we might have a couple of guests come onto the show as well. You never know, do you, Kel? We never know. But we normally have really good shows. And I think you the great listeners out there enjoy what we're doing. And as I say, you might be a bit concerned what's going on in our country, and of course you're a little bit concerned that this is going to possibly come your way, or is there, and it's showing its raising its ugly head, and what to do, and this is what we're here for. We were discussing these things and how we deal with it. You know, we've been finding that we've been combating against this Islamic scourge with our demonstrations. We have put in our feet on the street. You know, the foot soldiers out there, God bless them, every single one of them, are doing absolutely fantastic work. Travelled up and down the country. A lot of people come from overseas to join our demonstrations because they know it's so important. Defence leagues all over the world. I salute every single person that's involved with what we do. But we must keep the fight up, guys. There's no taking our foot off the pedal, because they are ramping it up. Look around you. This isn't, just trying to, send alarm bells out. The alarm bells have been ringing for ages, guys. It's just people are really waking up now, and that's all that we try to do, is to put information out there, and without any of the political correctness garbage that the media tries to portray and sanitize what's going on. We tell it the way it is, and this show will continue to speak out. People like Kel, with her shows, will speak out. Vito Espirito, with the Radio Jihad Network, will continue to speak out. People
Espirito.
Like Alder Awakens. Yeah, well, he knows. We're good mates, and he knows I'll get his name wrong sometimes.
I think you do that on purpose.
He has a chuckle because I know Vito.
That's your personal nickname for him.
But he normally, I know he'll have a chuckle because we are good friends and colleagues.
Oh yeah,
as such.
Oh yeah, you and great, him are great buds, absolutely.
Well yeah. Well we're all in this together. We stand well. I'm standing a little bit shorter than people, but we stand shoulder to shoulder with all the issues that we discuss.
We sure
but
do.
But my goodness me, Kel, the time is running away for us. Michael, I'm going to. Maybe you'd like to just share your last thoughts of the evening before we... I've got about 3 minutes, so Michael, would just I'd like to hear maybe your closing thing for this evening, your closing little speech. Go ahead, Michael.
Okay, pardon me. A close friend of mine who served in the United States Marine Corps, who deployed to Afghanistan and lost some brothers there during his tour, another Marine he knows sent him something, and I'm going to read it now, okay? Here we go.
Thank you, Mark.
On a cold December day, a day I will always remember, with freedom's true cost, another father was lost. With tears in a little boy's eyes, he watches as the Marine chaplain tells of his untimely demise and questions why this had to be. His mother is trying her best to be brave, and as she explained the price that had been paid, what a nation's hero has given, a nation in mourning for the life that was laid. Paid also by his grandfathers, he was just 9, but he understood what the colors meant to his father and the rest of his brotherhood. A week now has come to pass, standing here in Arlington, laying down freedom's last, with the sounds of 21 guns. As the stars and stripes had begun to fold, I remembered the meaning of each of the color and the story that they had hold and what needed to be told. White was for the purity of each heart. Red is for the valor within each man. Blue represents the vigilant part, virtues of every freedom's guardian. Today, as we celebrate independence, freedoms and justice for all, I stand in remembrance and salute the flags of our father's call.
Thank you, Michael. I've got 10 seconds to end the show, so thank you so much, and take care, guys, and we'll be back this Sunday. Sorry about this, guys. I haven't got a chance to even play the music out tonight, but I'm going to play a quick burst. Good night, guys. Take care. Stay safe, and no surrender ever. Good night, guys.
Good night, Jeff, and good night, Michael, and no surrender ever.
No surrender ever.
See you on Sunday.
People might say that I should strive for more, but I'm so happy I can't see the fine things happening here today. A show of strength with your fight brigade. And I'm so happy and you're so fine. You want more money and a concert of mine. My New Zealand best was for Atomic Rhymes. And the public gets what the public wants. But I want nothing to say it to dust. I'm going underground. What is the prospect for you? Pleasure as a hate me, I've been enough already on my fate. People might need some tension to relax me, I'm too busy dodging green and black. To see here, so what you